On our program today, we are taking time to visit with Superintendent Julie Trappa. Good to have you here.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Welcome to the new year.
Yeah. Happy 2025.
And semester's underway. And,
it is.
And we haven't had a snow day.
Just stop jinxing us.
Okay.
Don't do that.
All right. First thing, I did want to ask, you can give people a little update. What's happening on our search for an activities director?
Oh, yeah. So we're still, the position's still open to be applied for through tomorrow.
Okay.
And so we're in the process of going through our screening process, and we'll continue to do so that we can do in-person interviews on the 22nd. So by the end of the month, we're hoping to have an AD for next school year. So really excited. We've had lots of applications. So that's always a good sign, right?
Yeah. Well, it's better not having very many at all.
That's right. No, definitely.
So
definitely.
That's where we're at.
Yeah, that's where
folks,
we are.
If you were wondering.
Yes.
We are still moving forward with it.
Moving forward.
In the meantime, our interim group, they're doing a pretty good job of keeping everything going.
Yes, absolutely. So yes.
We keep busy.
Yes.
A lot of things for the board last night. I don't know which one to go with. There's so many here.
It was. You did have quite a bit.
You did. And it moved along fairly quickly on it, too. Mm-hmm. Let's do school calendar.
Sure.
That's going to generate some discussion among people. We've talked about it in the past. Again, the legislature set the date to 23rd. This year, that's a weekend. So you get moved to the 25th when you start.
We do get moved to the 25th. That's the earliest that we can start. And so that pushes everything back, unfortunately. So the calendar that we'll have a hearing on at the February meeting starts on the 25th. The students would go through June 2nd and teachers through June 3rd. And graduation day will be late compared to what we've done before. Mm-hmm. It would be the 31st, I believe.
Yeah, weekend of the 31st.
The weekend after Memorial Day. And one of the reasons for that is that it's state law that our seniors cannot have more than 30 hours of absence from when the rest of the population exits the school year.
Okay.
So we can't have it on Memorial Day weekend because that would give them 7 school days less than everyone else, and we are not able to do that. So that's why the graduation date would be moved.
Okay. Probably one of the big things, Wednesday, the early outs.
The biggest shift would be not having early outs anymore. So just a feeling that, and our data would tell us that not having the early outs, we're hoping we'll have more instructional time. We will have more instructional time and more quality instructional time, as well as more quality PD time, because we can dedicate a whole day to that professional development with our staff. And so, yeah, the calendar has no early releases other than right before breaks. We have those early releases in, like, before winter break and before,
like,
you know, that kind of thing.
But so
no
select times.
Yeah, no more early releases twice a month. Shifted that to full day professional development days. So
and would we have like did you just intersperse the professional development days?
We have professional development days about once a month. They're all on a Monday. We try to keep them all on a Monday. I'm thinking most of them are the second or third Monday,
but
try to time it so that it would be beneficial. Like, for example, as parent-teacher conferences are approaching, giving time for our teachers to prep for those. And making sure there's a decent amount of time between them so that we don't have like 2 professional development weeks in a row kind of thing. So
things like that.
So the biggest shift would be moving away from early release days.
Also, you built in some snow days.
We did. So we heard from many people that
they have been very nervous.
They would much prefer that we have the snow days built in. So there are 2 snow days built into this particular calendar. What that does do, though, is it does help us give quality instructional time if there is a snow day. Tacking on at the end is a lot more difficult to keep students engaged than if you're just having another school day during the school year. So,
And there was a lot of thought. And again, for people that are wondering about, because staff or your administrative team said, like John Johnson. Well, we'll adjust. We won't do the last test right up to the end. No, right. We'll push that up a little bit, and then we'll come in with soft education things, yeah. or things like working on our
portrait of a graduate.
Portrait, mm-hmm. yeah.
He took the opportunity to pitch his idea last night. But yeah, he has some ideas on how he'd like to incorporate some of our work-based learning that mm-hmm. we do more towards the end, push the finals back a little bit so that that's a little more conducive.
We'll see mm-hmm. how it all comes together. Yes. Anyway, public hearings are going to be on February 10th. So
yes.
people get a chance to
mm-hmm.
see and hear and talk a lot about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
We do have... successfully, Jed Hammond gets to go on tour again. No, he's got a couple that have become eligible for the International Thespian Festival.
So when they performed at the State Thespian Festival, they performed well enough to be able to qualify for the International Thespian Festival. So we had a student come and present to the board requesting permission to travel out of state, and that was approved. Joyfully, I would say. Yeah. So, yes.
They did like that. We've had a couple of people that have mm-hmm. been eligible before, but yeah. now they're really, we've got some that are really focused.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's exciting for them to have that opportunity. Yeah. And they talk about potential scholarship opportunities from having these experiences,
sure.
but it really is a good experience regardless.
Good. Mm-hmm. We have people that like to do that. So
absolutely.
That's good.
It's in Indiana,
yeah.
so not too far.
Not too far, and it's mm-hmm. in June. So
exactly. It's in June.
Foreign exchange. Yes. Again, those are always questions that come up because I get emails from agencies that say, put this on because we're searching for a family in your school mm-hmm. district. Okay. Well, I get a bunch of them every year. But I know the district does have some guidelines on foreign exchange students.
We do. Our board policy actually states that we'll accept up to 2 foreign exchange students. And so Boone Rotary Club has, they sponsored a foreign exchange student this year and are anticipating sponsoring a student next year and wanted to make sure that that was something the board would agree to before they went through the next steps because... those that do reach out to us and say, hey, we've got a family already, that's unfortunate because we really need to make sure that those are done ahead of time. So now we have 1 slot available. And there are other guidelines, but yes.
Yeah. So yeah. anyway, mm-hmm. they're one of them that will.
Yes.
Part of it is getting district approval first.
Yes.
And then.
Exactly. That really needs to happen first. Yes.
All right. So we had this discussion going on with the school resource officer, Chance Smith. And. probably Justin and John, and they say, how do we deal with some of these students that are having issues or were having problems with them? And they're reoccurring problems, mm-hmm. vaping, things like that, in particular.
Vaping in particular is a nationwide issue that schools yep. deal with, yeah.
And so he... started talking a little bit to YSS, and they said, oh, mm-hmm. we have a grant we're working on.
Yes.
So we have a program that the district
It provides an alternative to some of the traditional disciplinary consequences mm-hmm. that occur. And I appreciate that our SRO is looking for opportunities to really take a preventable approach as well as an educational approach to helping students cease that activity completely, not just when they get caught. So
we're really looking at an early intervention.
Absolutely, looking at early intervention. And it's what's great is they do have a grant, so it's free of charge. And it's an opportunity that will be provided. And we're going to come back to the board with an MOU, so mm-hmm. it's not official yet, but the board gave us approval to move forward. And so the plan would be that if someone is caught with a substance, that the family would have an opportunity to select the alternative route over the standard disciplinary procedures in hopes that education would help them cease the behaviors that they don't want.
Take care of the issue,
Take care of the issue. And so it is an opportunity for learning, and because YSS has lots of extra resources, if it's determined that the student needs more intervention than maybe would typically occur in a school, YSS can then make those offers to families as resources. So,
and the one thing is that, and the board he wanted them to understand, parents, if they don't want to do this, go through this, they can have the traditional disciplinary action.
Exactly. So it's an optional opportunity. So it's not going to be a mandatory thing. It will be optional to the families.
The one thing in a part, I made a note to myself, 20% reoccurrence.
Yes.
So again, of students that have already been taken in because of this, another 20%, 20% of them are coming back again.
Yeah. And really, you know, so again, 80%, it takes one time and that's enough to tell them, you know, I really probably need to stop, but 20% need further intervention. And we think this is a great way to provide support to them in addition to incentives to stopping.
We're not done with Chance, though. He did come in with another proposal he's been discussing with the county about the county canine being available to do walkthroughs. And things like that at the school.
As a preventable opportunity. Yeah.
So you're looking at developing basically, is this something that we can do? And what policy do we need to have in place?
Exactly. So really the intent would be prevention, a deterrent. If students knew that there would be a canine unit that would come through periodically that might be able to identify that there are substances in the school that shouldn't be, we're hoping that would be a preventable and preemptive move so that we can keep the things out of schools that shouldn't be in schools. So just something that we'd like to explore with our county partners and see. I think it was important that Officer Smith made sure that the board understood that this isn't something that the dog would be in amongst kids at all. It would be a situation where the hallways would be cleared and the dog would never be near students. It would be more around the property of the school. So those details would be more to come after we've had an opportunity to talk to our county partners. In the systems that I've been in where we've utilized this, it also provides an opportunity for training for the canine unit. So it's been kind of a mutually beneficial opportunity. But we shall see. That's just, again, we wanted permission to move forward with the conversation. That's not a done deal yet.
So we'll see what we could, gets worked out, if anything, too.
Yeah.
Dropout prevention at risk programming. The district, once again, seeks authority to spending authority. You got
spending authority. Yeah, it wasn't an ask for more money. It's to be able to spend the money we have. That's the easiest explanation.
And you have a pretty well established program that you're using.
Do.
So $592,000.
Yes,
towards that. But the issue is, things are changing going forward. You might not be able to offer these same services going forward.
Yeah.
Or the same level.
The same level, just because the amount of money that we receive from the state changes. And we've been notified that we will not have as much money next year as we have this year. So that's something that we will be figuring out.
work in progress. So Pam, Dr. Stenglin, gave a update on your special education delivery. Yeah. Now, and this is your expertise.
Yes.
Because we're in this area. But you need to update your plan, every 5 years?
Every
or so
5 years, the law requires us to update our special education delivery plan. And really all it is a way to communicate to district staff and community, this is how we deliver services for students with special needs. And so Pam shared a continuum of services with the board that we offer as a district and emphasized how important it is that continuum be present in all of our buildings, not in some, but all. So that's something that went into the delivery plan, as well as a way to help ensure that we place caseloads of students with teachers in an equitable fashion, mm-hmm. and in a manner that will ensure that we're able to meet the students' needs. So that's what that rubric that she talked about yeah. is intended to do, is to help ensure that. And so she really, again, we had a lot where we're just asking permission to move forward. And yep. so she wanted an opportunity because our staff wanted to kind of just start all over with our delivery plan. And so they did, to make sure that what was in our delivery plan is how we operate. And they want a chance to try this rubric out to see if it will actually be implemented as they intend. So they're going to try it out during this second semester. And if it goes as we hope, then we'll ask for final approval in May. If we need to tweak it, then we'll do that.
I did say she did have a lengthy list of people supporting, mm-hmm. participating, mm-hmm. offering input on it.
Absolutely. So we had community members. We had staff from all levels, both special education staff and general education staff. We had administrators, a wide variety of people. And there will be an opportunity for public input on that plan. Dr. Stanlin yeah. will be sending out something soon for the general community to weigh in.
Couple other things that came up, mostly discussion on this part of yeah. it. But again, Pat Teben brought up the question that you usually get every year, are mm-hmm. we going to offer early retirement or not? Mm-hmm. And the current position financially for school districts, it mm-hmm. makes it very difficult.
It really does. And what people don't understand is early retirement plans are funded solely by property taxes. And so we are very cognizant, and our board is very cognizant of wanting to maintain as low a property tax as we can. And the current financial situation for public schools and how things are funded, there's potential for that small increases anyway. Mm-hmm. And we prefer not to exacerbate that increase. So that's essentially what Pat talked about last night at the board meeting, is just kind of the why as to why we wouldn't be offering that opportunity at this time.
And a couple of years ago, the board did do mm-hmm. used to do it almost like every other year again yeah. for that. But a couple of years ago when you did it, this is going to have to be considered mm-hmm. individually. We can't just have a regular rotation.
Yeah, it was 22-23 school year that the last incentive was offered. And at that time, the district did share with staff that it was not likely to return in the near future. We did know at that time that we might be looking at times like this. And so, again, our board has always been very fiscally responsible and wanted our staff to know that, you know, maybe the past practice wasn't going to be possible. So
one of the topics that had come up a couple of months ago was, do we continue having all juniors take ACT tests? I remember yeah. the board when they did that many years ago. Mm-hmm. It was board driven.
Absolutely.
They had board members at the time, but mm-hmm. also ACT was mm-hmm. required if you went into secondary mm-hmm. Or up.
Yeah, the post-secondary
numbers
that they
yes.
have. Yep. Yeah, and John Johnson talked a little bit about how the ACT maybe doesn't hold as much weight as it used to. Still required in many institutions, but maybe not as many as it used to. So there had been discussion about, is this something we want to continue to mandate for our students? And we did discover that if you don't mandate it, we can't pay for it. And that was something that was not really something we had discussed. It wasn't about not offering this opportunity to students free of charge. It was basically not wanting to mandate it for everyone. So we didn't want to take away the free of charge option at this point, especially at this point in the game. So John just shared with the board that at this point, we're going to continue as we have, but hey, what do you want to do moving forward? Because if we don't mandate it, we aren't going to be able to pay yeah. for it.
This mm-hmm. is one of those where the board's going to have to sit down mm-hmm. and decide what they want, what direction they wish to go.
That's correct.
That's their choice.
Yep.
A lot of policy things, and I know yeah. that a lot of it was just updating some certain yeah. language updates and things like that.
So the majority of the board policies that came before the board were just changing the titles, because the titles had changed and the yeah. content hadn't changed, just the titles. And Much like how we have to update the special education delivery plan every 5 years, you have to update your board policies every 5 years. So there are some select policies that needed to be reviewed just because of the timeline. Others that had changed fairly significantly. And so we had a good discussion on directory information.
Yeah.
When I looked at what we had in the directory information, I had some concerns that, you know, sharing information that I don't think is necessary. And so one that I had pointed out was the Infinite Campus student ID number. I don't think that's necessary to share with anyone. And then a conversation around birthday and location of birthplace. Had forgotten about the birthday celebration, so I don't want to get rid of that. But I don't know that we need to have ready for anyone in from anywhere to know where you were born. So I think that's, you know, anything not on the list that we have is considered private and would require parent permission. So we're trying to make sure we're only providing the information that's necessary. So
keep working on it. How's our attendance been going? Got to ask about that. Has it been better or worse? Would you like it to be better?
Would like it to be better. Yes, would like it to be better. We've had quite a few engagement meetings. Mm-hmm. But yeah, would like it to still be better than it is. Just,
Some. Again, ongoing, well, I saw, what was it, Valley, 36%?
Yeah. And you know what? I haven't looked at it since we ended the semester. But I can say in the first quarter, we're right where we were in years prior. Right, so. Would like to see it get better. I would say the chronic absenteeism hasn't changed. What I have seen an improvement in are those that maybe aren't chronic absenteeism that wouldn't hit that threshold. That attendance has increased and gotten better, but not the chronic absenteeism. Okay.
Still have an ongoing issue there.
An ongoing issue, just really wanting to educate our families to understand some of the negative consequences students experience as a result of not being in school. So continuing to try and educate.
And I'm not even going to ask you about cell phones because you already take care of those. But
we do.
We might see what if the state says, let's do what's Putin.
Well, so that's something, if people don't know, K through 8, students aren't able to have their cell phones at all. And then when they hit high school, they are allowed to have them in the lunchroom and in the hallway, but not during class time. And so I believe we'll be hearing later this evening that there's a push to not have cell phones where there's instruction happening. Yeah. Well, Boone's already doing that, so that's the good news. We've already accomplished the task.
I think a lot of your superintendents are telling you the same thing. We're already doing this.
Yes. So we agree that it's a great thing to limit access because we have had a lot more conversation at the lunch table, even though they're able to have it, since they don't have it during the class time. And we see more interaction with kids, and it's fun to see.
Well, that's a whole part of a lot of what you're doing is collaboration.
So. Collaboration, communication. That's our portrait of a graduate. We want them to know how to have those conversations, so they need practice.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Julie Trepa, Boone School Superintendent, our guest. Thank you for joining us, and we'll try to do what we can for the weather.
That's right. Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.